Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Let me tell you a quick story that I read and I enjoy just to set as a platform for my devotional this morning as we get ready to participate in communion. I read about a pastor who loved to hike, that was really passionate about going out into the woods and walking about and enjoying nature. This man had a son, and in his heart he had a serious desire to just be able to share the love and the passion that he had for hiking. He wanted his boy to enjoy nature and to also enjoy going out in the woods and just enjoying God's creation and have him appreciate all of that. Well, he took time, this father did, to plan out a very well-scheduled, what he thought in the beginning was an easy, relatively easy hike for him and his son in the Northern Appalachian Trail, we are told. Now, this journey, as he had planned it, would take them around a particular mountain and hillside. And ultimately, at the end of this hike, there they would find this beautiful lake that the father had deep memories of, because both he and his father as well took that journey, which is where he got his passion for hiking. And this lake, he never forgot, and he frequented that place still. But now his son was of age, and he wanted to share this experience with his son. So after having done all the preparations, the father in the beginning obviously made plans where this hike would be enjoyable and not so difficult for the young boy. But he made it difficult enough. He planned it difficult enough so that it would teach the boy character and show him certain things that would develop him as a young man. And as they were taking their journey, he would constantly turn around, this father would, and he would say to his son, "Son, it's going to get a little difficult in a little while. It's going to get a little tough, a little rough, but it's important to keep in your mind that no matter what happens, no matter what we face ahead of us, we cannot stop walking. Whatever trouble we may face on this journey, we must always remember and keep in mind our journey's goal and never stop walking." Now, it wouldn't take long on this trip that suddenly and unfortunately the hike that was so well planned by the father went awry. And the trail that he had pre-planned that was going to be okay, all of a sudden, because of tempest and climatic weather, it had changed, that they were forced now to take another route and to not go down that pre-planned path. Now, this new journey was both surprising to the father. It wasn't what he expected, because in this trail he found a broken road, washed out and rocks everywhere, bushes and broken trees. It was a struggle. And the boy was following behind the father. And the father would look back and see his son tumbling and scratching and falling and getting up. And he'd stop and he said, "Son, are you okay?" And, "Yes, Dad, listen, remember, it's going to be awesome when we get there." "Yes, Dad." And they kept on hiking. Well, as the journey would continue, time and time again, the little boy would fall and his jeans began to tear and his boots began to wear. He began to draw just a few scrapes on his knees and on his hands. It was getting bothersome for the young boy. And the father would turn around and he'd see his boy struggle. And he'd continue to encourage him. And it got to a point where the travel was long and so difficult that the little boy fell for the last time and finally sat down and he began to cry. And the father looks at him. He says, son, are you okay? He goes, yes, dad, I'm okay. Just give me a second. And he wipes his tears. He gets up again and he continues as if hopefully now the next few steps would be at least normal. But no, to no avail. Once again, the boy would fall and scrape his knees. And you could hear the aching and the moaning of him. And the father would once again turn around his son. And he says, dad, I know. You say it's okay to cry, but I can never stop walking. The father was an encouragement to his son along this journey. It was a tough journey. It was a difficult journey for this young boy. You know, all of us here, we kind of can feel what the little boy may have felt like when difficult times come in our lives. For whatever reason, and many reasons at a time, it will come where the road that we are taking in our journey called life suddenly becomes more difficult for us. What you expected this road to be, all of a sudden gets washed out. And you're brought into this new avenue, a new path down the way that brings you things you'd never expect you'd see. A broken road where now it would not be walking that you would be doing, but it'd be more climbing and kneeling and crawling, trying to get through and up this road. You and I, in our journey in life, we've fallen a few times, time and time again, sometimes more than we'd like to. And for some of us, at a time or two, I know certainly me, it's sometimes been easier to just convince ourselves to sit down, lick your wounds, and just rest and not move for a while and just sit there. As believers, sometimes we think that our faith in God makes us exempt or immune to the failures and struggles of life. We think that because we believe in God, the road that He's planned out for us is pavement and all the way through. I mean, nothing to get in your way or cause you to stumble, but it's altogether different according to Scripture. In fact, it was Jesus Himself who said, in this life you will have trouble. You are going to struggle. It's not a ticket to easy street to believe and to trust in God. It's not some magic bubble that shields us from us inheriting any kind of unfairness in life and suffering. Life is a challenge. Can I hear a hearty amen? Sometimes life is the challenge we never really wanted it to be. Somebody say amen. The journey of faith and obedience to God can sometimes downright be grueling. It can be painful. It can be depressing. It can be hurtful. It can be disappointing. It can make you cry. It can make you complain. It can make you even want to give up. You know, last past week, and I thank you for your patience and you allowing me to be out. I was in Houston. I had to go for my kidney and my liver exams, and those all together are the challenge. I tried to get out of it. I need to tell you, on Friday, I even called one of my brothers. I said, you know what, I'm going to tell him, I'm not going to go to Houston. Just do me by Zoom. And I called and I said, I can't go because it's Thanksgiving, man. You know, I'm a pastor and I've got a lot of things. They said, okay. I said, okay, so we can postpone this and you can reschedule. I said, I told my wife, I got it. I'm getting out. I'm going to stay home. He says, yeah, okay, let us reschedule. I said, okay, do that. He goes, we'll see you Monday morning at 8:30. I go like, Friday, Monday, come on. I was thinking maybe next February or March sometime. Well, they didn't. So I had to go, and I had to leave for the weekend to get up there and get rest and prepare for these exams. But I myself sometimes need encouragement with the things that I've been through in my life, and surely what you've been through your life. There are times, or even ourselves, we need to sometimes be reminded why we do what we do. We need to be reminded, even I myself sometimes need a reminder as to why I have this faith, and why is it that I do on a constant daily, all of my life, close to 40 years now that I've done this non-stop. What is it? Somebody remind me, because sometimes life isn't easy. It gets difficult. There are betrayals in life. There are hurts in life. There are mistakes in life. There are troubles in life. Somebody remind me. In Scripture, every great woman and man of God that we have met surely can testify the same thing I'm saying. Life is difficult. Life is tough. Many a time that we find men of God, great patriarchs that we read about and we gain faith and encouragement from, we find them sometimes sitting down and complaining, "Woe unto me! Oh, that I had wings like a dove! I'm going to find a cave to go hide. Nobody loves me." So disappointed at times were these men that sometimes they too, just like us, wanted to sit down and just forget it. Jeremiah said, "Oh, I committed myself. I said, I'll never talk about Jesus anymore. I'm not going to say a thing. It's caused me trouble. They've thrown me in wells. They've left me out to starve. Everybody in the city hates me. I committed. I will sew my lips together and never make mention of the name." He said, "Oh." But in the Scripture, we find also that for every man of God, every woman of God that was discontent and disconcerted a time or two, they always had someone to encourage them. For every Paul that wanted to come in the church after having messed up in his life and have a bad testimony, there God sent him a Barnabas. And for every Timothy that was young and looked at as a young kid who didn't know anything, God gave him a Paul. There was always a Silas. There was always someone to motivate this individual. If not God himself, someone to say, "You can cry all you want, but you can never stop walking." I've titled this conversation with you. That's what I do more these days with you. I converse with you more than I do preach to you. Simply, what motivates you? Why are you here? What wakes you up in the morning to want to serve Jesus? Why do I get up in the morning to keep on my journey with God? What is it that you're focused on in your heart that wakes you up in the morning? And the first thing you have is that you're a Christian and a believer and you're on a journey. What keeps you moving forward? You see, for this father in this story that I just told you, he stopped continually to remind the son of where he was going. He was trying to demonstrate and to convey to the boy on a constant basis, to motivate him, how awesome it was going to be when they made it around the hill and they made it through all the trouble, how awesome it was going to be to get by that lakeside and just like he and his father set a fire and start catching fish and sitting in the evening and telling stories and eating some fish and maybe even taking a cool bath in the lake together watching the stars at night, enjoying each other's company, having such a great time, trying to motivate him somehow to outweigh the trouble with a motivating joy. Oh, son, just wait till we get there. Just, just keep your mind on where we're headed. Son, don't stop. Just think of the experience you're going to feel when you get to that lake. Just imagine the unbridled joy that we're going to feel when we see the majesty of what God has created. How beautiful the trees, the animals, the fish, the lake, everything. Son, keep your eye on the goal. What about you? In your walk with God, what do you look forward to that motivates you to continue walking? What have you placed your eyes on in this journey that you started? You know, it's a fact and it's scriptural. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 29 that where there is no revelation, the people lose restraint. That is, when you have no goal in your mind and your aim is absolutely nothing, you have nothing to motivate you and move you forward. You'll start doing anything. Anyone who is disappointed and has no vision is easily to convince to just sit down and be idle and do nothing. Feelings of failure, disappointment, unsuccessfulness, worthlessness, when there is no vision. So it's important for us to pay attention to the things that motivate us. And that's the question of the hour that I placed before you this morning. What is it that motivates you to be here today? What is it that motivates you to wake up every morning and pursue and continue in this walk you call Christianity? Well, I'd like to offer you some, I believe, very biblical and very effective goals that should exist in the hearts of a Christian. And that should, I believe, with all of my heart, be the major motivators in our lives. You can write this down or try to your best to remember them, but these, I believe, you should possess. Number one. Your motivations every morning should be to please God. Whoopee. But it really is. That is the whole business of us being here. Before you satisfy anything else in your life, the greatest motivating element in your life that should wake you up in the morning to press on your day in this journey with God is your desire to please Him. If you lose sight of that, if you lose sight of that purpose in your life, ladies and gentlemen, then what is Christianity and what is the Christianity that you are living? Colossians 1 and 10, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. Bearing fruit in every work, every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened by all the power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Nothing is going to motivate you to continue walking with God than your primary and utmost desire to please Him. Nothing else will. Oh, I want to be a part of that church. Good for you. Oh, I want to be a part of that. The other, good for you. I really want to do this. And that's wonderful that you love to do a lot of things. But when you're journeying with God, He is your first motivating factor. He becomes that golden lake that the Father talked about. He becomes that prize. He's the prize that Paul spoke about. One thing that I do, I set my eyes on the goal, on the prize. Every morning our desire should be in the utmost and best way we can to bring joy to the heart of the Father. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. That means if you pleased him yesterday, then find encouragement to please him even in a greater way today. From glory to glory, upward, always, to remain, Spurgeon said, to remain in the same place as you were yesterday is to be backslidden. Because a Christian's walk is forward from greater to greater, from glory to glory. And so we please God yesterday with good things that we did. Then he says, try even more. And more so, do what you can to please him. That is the greatest motivating element that will keep you on this journey. It's when people walk away from God, and I've seen many in my years, and I wonder, what was it that drove those people away? It's just a simple answer. It's nothing so profound, that they lost sight of pleasing God. It's as simple as that. There's no mathematics to that. It's not rocket science to figure that out. If you can walk away from God, that means that your desire to please him's ended. What motivates you? Secondly, a motivating element in your life, I believe, should wake you up every morning to continue in your journey with God, is the salvation of your children, your family. I want you to think for a moment where your kids are today. I want you to think about your family today. When was the last time they were a priority in your waking up in the morning? This is 1 Timothy chapter 5. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, when you look at this verse, many, many preachers have always concluded or insinuated that this passage has to do with you providing an education or providing a bank account or providing a house, a car, a home, shoes, pants, and food for a child, which is an obligation, and it is correct. It's good to apply it that way because it's valid. We should take care of our children. We should take care and tend to our home. We should take care of our wives. We should care for our children. But this is not the major reference of this passage. He's talking to believers. He's talking to Christians. He's not talking about material wealth. He's talking about what makes you wake up every morning and what motivates you to follow God. That wealth right there is what needs to be imparted into our children. If you fail to do that, you have denied, the Bible says, the faith. I know you weren't going to say anything. I knew it.
I wish it was still Thanksgiving. I kind of like the other guys that preach better.
Kind of shifts things, doesn't it? Well, I have a scholarship. I mean, I have money in the bank for my kids' education. Wonderful, you should. Man, my kid has never slept out in the street. He's always had a home. Wonderful, that's your obligation. Well, he doesn't walk to school. He drives a car, and a nice car. More than me, I used to go in a wagon. That's fine, good for you. Wonderful. Sometimes you can ask a son, you can ask a daughter, what is it about your parents that you want to inherit or gain? And many will say, well, my dad's an excellent doctor. I want to be a doctor like him. My dad is an awesome scientist, a very intellectual and smart individual. I want to be like him. My mother is a virtuous woman. She's industrious and she's had a job. She's an attorney herself. I want to be a strong woman like my mom. I want to be like her. And those are the greatest aspirations of a child, and rightfully so. It's good. But when was the last time that we heard our children say, I want to be a man of God like my father? I want to be a woman of God like my mother. If there's anything I want to gain from my parents, is I want to learn of the integrity they've had in their journey with God, because I've seen my dad fall, I've seen my mom fall, and I've seen them bounce back and keep walking after Jesus. I've seen my family struggle. I've seen when we've had. I've seen when we've lacked. And yet, I've never seen them complain. They shake off the dust off their boots and they get up and they keep walking. That's what I hope to grow up and to become. If there's anything, fathers and mothers, this morning I can say to you that should be a motivating factor for you to continue in your journey with God, is your desire to see your sons and your daughters saved. I ask myself at times, because I too, just like you, need motivation at times. I too, sometimes my body is ill. I too, sometimes go through circumstances, even in the church, that I struggle with in my heart. Things that are painful, things that are difficult. I'm not immune to things. I'm not in some bubble that some of you think that I exist in. I also go through things in my family that cause me to struggle and make me suffer certain things just like you. I too have shed a tear by myself in my room. I too have taken a long drive to think and to vent with God. I too. And I ask myself, why should I get up in the morning and continue in this journey? All I have to do is look at my kids. All I have to do is to look at my boys. All I have to do is look at my daughters and my grandchildren. At that moment, it's important for me to straighten my back out, clean the snot off my nose, and wipe my tears and keep marching. Why? Because there are children following me. And I remain walking with God, because if I remain, they will learn to remain. That is a motivating element in the life of a believer. To know that you're living your life for your family. May I add to this principle the next principle, which is to live for others, the salvation of others. The eyes of the world are upon you, ladies and gentlemen. The world is crying out for someone who is real. You've seen over the past year how we've seen ministers of great stature fall to the ground on their faces because of sin. And the greatest conversation in the church is not, let's pray for them. It's, I knew it. I could see it in his face. That's the job of the church. Not realizing that the greater agenda behind that is to discourage you and keep you in that pit of judgment. But there are people today in this world who are dying every 6 seconds, we are told. and going off to eternity. Some will be going into the glory and the presence of God, while others will be going to a Christless eternity. For Jesus, that was a great motivator. And it should be for us. I was so pleased this morning. One of our sisters, part of the women's ministry, said, "Pastor, I came into my office." And she said, "You know, we're so happy, Pastor, because we started this blanket drive, the women's ministry. And in their generosity, the church has been so wonderful. We have now 30 blankets we're going to be giving to our home missionary, Sister Rebecca Pearl, to take to Mexico." Would you give the Lord a praise for that? "You did this." She goes, we're so thankful because we're going to be able, you know, and times are cold. It's getting cold. It's not even cold, and I'm already sick. But there's people who are really living out in the elements, and the care of the church, this is where you step in. And now they've got over 30 blankets. And she said, "This is not the end of it. We're stopping here. We're giving this away to Sister Pearl to take them, I believe, this coming weekend or whenever. But we're going to continue raising other stuff for the needs of the hurting." That should be a motivating element in the life of the church waking up to walk with God. You know, the Bible says in James 1 and 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans, widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Philippians 2 and 4 says, let each of us look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Romans 15 and 1, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. You see, God expects that these things, the care of the world, the care of the lost, to be a motivating element and factor in our lives that wakes us up in the morning. You should wake up in the morning. God expects us to at least to wake up in the morning and say, "Who can I tell about Jesus? Who can I tell about the Lord?" There are people in your house whom you as a Christian have not even told about Jesus. Never taken the time to stress with urgency your care and your love with that individual to say, "Listen, man, you need to come to the Lord. Jesus loves you," and love them. I know many of us who have tried have been rejected, and that's fine. God's not going to hold you for that. But we never have the excuse for not making the intent. And so we are to wake up motivated. What should motivate us every morning to get up and walk for Christ is to please the Lord, to make sure we demonstrate Christ to our children in a faultless way as best as we can, and to wake up motivated to reach out for others. And finally, this morning, one of the blessed hopes of the church, and I believe the greatest motivator that should wake us up to keep walking up this jagged road, sometimes gets so difficult to walk, is our final arrival to glory. Does anybody want to go to heaven anymore? I said, does anybody want to go to heaven anymore? Are we really so stuck right here because we have a good business, or because we make good money, or because I just bought the home, or they're making this new car, or I really want to finish my degree? And all these are good things. That's fine. But is there really anything more important than our desire to go to heaven with the Father? I believe that one of the motivating things in the heart of that son that kept his journey going was that he was pleasing his Father as he followed him. He wanted to be a good son, but also he wanted to please his Father and see the joy of the Father as they arrived at that place. It's always been Jesus' desire, ladies and gentlemen, to get you and me to heaven. The Father's heart, Jesus said, it is the desire of him who sent me that none be lost. It is a great joy of the Father that I should give you the keys to the kingdom, he said. In his last prayer in John chapter 14, he said, I go prepare a place for you. And he finishes off saying, so that where I am, you may be also. Jesus wants us in heaven. Doesn't that excite you? Doesn't that make you happy? Huh? That means he's going to do everything he can to get us there. And that should motivate us to continue in this journey following the Lord. Philippians 3 and 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we're from. We are pilgrims in this place. Don't take ownership like you own it. You don't. And if somebody gave it to you, why would you want it? It's gonna rot. When you speak about leaving an inheritance to a child, you're going to say, I'm going to leave my son a $10 million home. Give it time and it's going to leak. I'm going to give my son that car that I bought. Cost me $300,000. He's going to have a good car. And that, give it time and it's going to leak oil. You know, in Bible times, ladies and gentlemen, there were great men that make today's wealthy men look like hobos. Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, is a poor man to some of the guys that we know in Scripture. Poor. Mr. Trump and the Trump Plaza. It's not fitting to be the toilet in some of the palaces that we know about in Scripture. I'm not just being sarcastic, but it's a fact. Not one of these men can stand on a hill and look as far as the eye and see either way and all around and say, all of that's mine. Not one. And the kingdoms and the palaces that we read about in Scripture were laced in gold. Beyond price and value, these kingdom palaces were. But today, this many years later, if you go back to look for that palace, it's nothing but rubble. It's nothing but fallen brick, stone, and mortar. Because everything in this world falls victim to time and the elements. But the Bible says that our citizenship is in heaven. And it goes on to say that we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are waiting for a city whose maker are not men, but the very hand of God. If there's anything I can say to you, my Christian family, that should wake you up every morning to want to walk with Jesus, even at a closer distance. It's like, wow, that the inheritance that he has for you, the Bible says no eye has seen and no ear has heard and neither has it sat upon the hearts of men, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So don't you ever be envious because someone says, well, I've got $10,000 in the bank. You can just say, I've got a kingdom in glory. I've got a kingdom in glory. What motivates you? Ushers, would you come? What motivates you, church? That's the topic of this whole conversation. What motivates you? What keeps you going? We need to make sure this morning that what motivates us daily is something enduring and lasting. Nothing material, nothing fleeting, nothing passing, but something real. You know, when I think about motivation, and the principle that I gave you this morning, you know, these very same motivations that I give you today were in the heart of Christ as well. You know, when Jesus came, he testified. He said, you know my Father? Go ahead, guys, pass them out. If you would stand for the receiving of this meal. Listen to me this morning as you receive your meal. But when Jesus came, he said, you know, my Father never leaves me. He never abandons me because I always do what pleases him. So as I told you this morning, what should motivate you to continue in the Lord is to your desire to please him. Such was the desire of Christ. He never leaves me because I always do what pleases him. I'm here because I want to please my Father. The motivating factor that brought Jesus to his feet every morning and to his knees in prayer was his love for family. Was his love for others. Was his love for you and me. Nothing could disappoint him enough to want to turn back. That focus in the heart of Christ, that focus in the mind of Christ, his purpose that he had in his heart never shifted. And it took him all the way up the hill of Calvary. We have testimony in Scripture where some tried to sway him. Jesus, you don't want to do that, man. Do you know what they're going to do to you? And I can only see in the heart of Christ by testimony that the gaze in his eyes said, you think that's more important than my goal? Sorry. You think that's, I should fear more going into Jerusalem because they're going to kill me. Just like Paul said, you think that should sway me from my purpose, what motivated me to come here in the first place? When Jesus prayed and he said he prayed and he sweat that which was like blood. And they tried to sway him. He said, man, listen, look at you. He said, what should I do now? Should I say, Lord, spare me from this hour of trial because the rocks are hard, because it's washed out, because I thought it was going to be a paved road or whatever, that I'm going to turn around from what motivated me to come? It took him all the way to Calvary. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do the same today, and you pay attention this morning and ask yourself, what is it that motivates me? And the answers that you give yourself are answers that have nothing to do with this material world, but things that are of a godly nature. I promise you that you too, that focus and that commitment and that motivation will take us all to glory. People will never see you walk away from God. Ah, you may fall. You may scratch yourself. You may tear your jeans. You might mess up your shoes. You may make a mistake. You may do things that you never wanted to do. You find yourself in a pit and you want to say, just like the prophet, woe unto me. But if you'll allow God, he will take a hot coal and he will purify you. It's never a good time to turn back. It's always a good time to be motivated by the important things that we have before us in God. This journey that we're all committed to walk is one that's going to take us all the way to glory. But he did say, in this world you will have trouble. But he also did say that the momentary troubles of this life are easily outweighed by the glory to come.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.